This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So, America, please open your truth book, your King James Bible, to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 45, where we left off last time. Excuse me. John 8, verse 45. Just before we begin, I would like to invite all of you to come to my school on December 21st at 6:30 p.m. for a family Christmas program. We're going to be in costumes, we're going to have cookies, we're going to sing carols, and our own Scott Mercer is going to give you a 30-minute supernatural movie of wings and things. It's going to be great. December 21st, 6:30 p.m. For those of you out there who love to sing Christmas carols, give me a call and I'll give you a costume so you can enjoy it. But that's not all. On December 25th, this happens to be a Sunday this year, have your Christmas dinner early and come to my school on Christmas Day 25th at 5 p.m. And I'm going to have Holy Communion, the Eucharist, the Lord's Table. And then I'm going to teach a chapter of the Bible, book line and so forth, verse. And then I'm going to open up the holy bench, and Scott's going to get on one side and I on the other. And we're going to heal. I'll pray for the healing of the sick. Jesus does the healing. Tell everybody you know who's sick. We want them lined up in wheelchairs. What a great day to get healed on Christmas Day. The Lord is alive and he still heals. Now, for John 8, verse 45. John 8, you need to know, has been so dissed, shall we say, by the hierarchy of the church. Many church leaders through the years have wanted to remove John 8 from the Bible. Why is that? Because in John 8, Jesus himself clearly defines who the Kenites are. They're the descendants of Cain, and Cain is a child of the devil when Satan beguiled Eve in a garden. In the garden, they're beguiled, exapatio, holy, seduced. And these Kenites are the phony church leaders here in our story, and they give our brother Judah a bad name, and they have destroyed America, and they're trying to destroy the church. So Jesus clearly defines who they are. He said, as we left off last time, you are of your father, the devil. Now he's talking to the phony church leaders. They're calling themselves our beloved brother Judah. We love our brother Judah. But he said, you of your father, the devil, he was a murderer, and he's a liar, and he's the father of a lie. And Jesus was just influencing people and winning friends.
Yeah. Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say unto you the truth, why do you not believe me? 47, he that is of God heareth God's word.
Now, this is very important. The word of there means children. In the Greek, like he said early in verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, of, like to have a child. So he said, the reason you can't hear me is because your father is a liar, and I am the truth, Jesus says of himself. See, truth and lie do not mix. You can never put them in the same room together. You're going to have chaos.
Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God.
He tells them again, he's still winning friends and influencing people. You phony church leaders, you're the devil's children.
48, then said the Jews unto him.
Now you know by now, every time it says Jews in here, that's an incorrect word. There is no such word as Jew or Jewish. You say, but people call themselves. I know, but they don't know. It's Eudah. It either means J-U-D-A-H, a real Hebrew, one of my brothers, I'm on top of Levi, or it means the pretenders, the Kenites. So it's an English error, and I'm sorry that preachers have lumped all 12 tribes and called them the wrong word even, so please get it right. So the way I'm going to do, since he keeps using the word, I'll just stop and say Eudah, Kenite, okay?
Pray ye not well that thou art a Samaritan and have a devil.
You know what they said to him? They said, you are a second-class citizen. They looked down on the Samaritans. They thought they were second-class citizens. They said, you're a devil. In other Gospels there, they told Jesus that he did miracles by the power of Beelzebub. Now, Beelzebub is another one of the devil's name, and Beelzebub means the Lord of the flies. Somebody get the fly swatter.
49, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me.
You know, I asked the Lord, why did Jesus take his time to try to convince these people? Because Alexander Pope says a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. The Holy Spirit showed me today why. Because we need to hear Jesus say this. They didn't get it, but Jesus said it because he knew John would write it down and we would hear it.
And I seek not mine own will. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. 51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death.
Whoa, now listen to that. Did you know that from the day God created your soul in the world that then was eons and eons of years ago in a spiritual body, you have never died when he sent you through from your spiritual body through your mother's womb? You didn't go die then to come in. And should you go back home to God tonight, you won't die. It's like walking in the next room, eternal life. And if you're saved, you never will die. Jesus says, all live unto Christ. Now, those who are lost are going to eventually die.
52, then said the Jews unto him,
Eudas Kenites,
now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. 53, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead?
Abraham's dead. Jesus, the prophets are dead. Who do you think you are, Jesus? Everybody dies, say these people who can only think in the natural.
Who makest thou thyself?
Who do you think you are?
54. Jesus answers, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. 55, yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I would be a liar, like unto you.
Way to go, Jesus. I'd be a liar like you. Again, winning friends and influencing people. Don't you love Jesus? I tell you, he's got a little spice there.
But I know him and keep his sayings. 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad.
Now, when did Abraham see Jesus? Well, it's answered in Hebrews 7. Don't turn there now, but make a note by that verse, please, for home study. Hebrews 7. But I'm going to give you a few verses to show you when Abraham and Jesus met.
Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, King of Salem.
Now you want to know that Melchizedek, that would be Hebrew because it was in Genesis when we first heard of this man, this one. Melchi means king, and Zedek is a root of Zadok, the elect, the just. So Melchi, king of the Zadok, king of the just. Salem is a word for shalom, peace, king of peace. Kind of sounds like Jesus coming up, doesn't it?
Priest of the Most High God.
Priest of the Most High God. Who is it that lives and ever lives to make intercession for you? Who is your high priest? The Lord Jesus.
Met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings.
Now, in the book of Genesis, Abraham had been attacked, so Abraham went to and beat up the heathen, and God gave him victory. And Abraham got all of the spoils, the gold and jewels and money. And on Abraham's way back home after the victory, Melchizedek met him. Melchi, king, Zedek, Zadok, just, king of the just, king of Salem, shalom, king of peace, priest of the Most High God. Now, Everybody, I've heard all kind of stories of who it is. Let's let the Bible tell you who it is. Remember, Jesus just said that he had already met Abraham. Abraham knew him.
And blessed him.
Okay, Melchizedek blesses Abraham.
Verse 2, to whom Abraham gave a tenth part of all.
Abraham took all of the loot that he got and he gave one-tenth to him. Malachi 3, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And then goes on to prove the blessings. Abraham's the one that began the tithe right there. That's our father Abraham. So he pays it to Melchizedek. You know you don't give your tithe just to any Tom, Dick, and Harry, do you?
Right.
Wherever you go to church, make sure that wherever you're giving your tithes, that you are getting the true word of God, and that that money is being used to get the word of God out. Otherwise, you're throwing it away.
First being by interpretation, king of righteousness.
Oh, okay. Melchizedek is king of righteousness. Now, the Hebrew says, Yahweh Tzidkenu. Jesus' name means Yahweh's Savior. Yahweh is the name of the Lord. Tzidkenu in Hebrew is the Lord our righteousness. Want to speak Hebrew? Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Tzidkenu.
Tzidkenu.
The Lord our righteousness. That's Jesus, don't you think?
And after that also, King of Salem.
Shalom, King of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace.
Verse 3, without father, without mother.
Oh, no man and woman ever got together and birthed this one.
Without descent.
He had not yet at that time descended through the Virgin Mary and clothed himself in baby Jesus' body.
Having neither beginning of days nor end of life.
In the beginning, God. He always was, he is, he always will be. This is Jesus. Melchizedek is Jesus. He is a pre-incarnate Jesus before the virgin birth. He on the planet Earth, he met Abraham. Remember that God had promised Abraham that through Abraham's loins would come the Messiah. So, physically, from right on down through the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Levi, this Melchizedek would later on plop himself in a descendant of Abraham and be the Lord Jesus in the flesh.
But made like unto the Son of God.
Well, that settles it. Made like unto the Son of God. A priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Abided the priest continually.
Now we go back to John. Any question there? So that's what he's telling the phony church. See, they should have known this. This is written in Genesis. They're the church leaders. They don't know the word. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life.
John 8, verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him,
Eat Udas Kenites.
Who art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?
They don't get it.
Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
Hebrew, ayah, asha, ayah, I am that I am, I am that I will become, I am the eternal being. I existed before I ever even created a soul called Abraham, says Jesus.
59, then pick me up stones to cast at him.
As my friend said, Christians are all right, but those church folks will kill you.
But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them.
I love it. You know what he did? He became invisible. You say, whoo. Well, remember Philip in the book of Acts? The Lord whisked him away in his spiritual body to be in the Ethiopian's chariot where he led him to the Lord baptizing, and the Lord whisked him away there. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was in his flesh body, right before Peter, James, and John's eyes, Jesus just turned and turned into his spiritual body. You are a spirit. There is more that you could be doing for the Lord than you can possibly imagine.
So passed by. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth.
Now this is what I like to call a divine assignment and a divine placement. There is a place for you to be. And people go hither, thither, and yon, trying to find the place. But when you're in the place, then when you're the right place, Jesus will meet you there.
Verse 2, and his disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents?
Okay, they believed then that if you were born blind, that you had sinned. I don't know how the little baby could sin, but they did know that we existed in the spirit body in the first earth age. So it's true that we're born into a situation that we deserve there, but that's another story. But they also believed in the generation curse, which is not true, that if the parents had sinned, that sin was passed on to the child. Jeremiah says, the teeth of the children are not set on edge by the parents. We do not suffer for their sins. The church teaches that generational curse. It's not true. Once you are saved, the blood of Jesus breaks that. It has no power. Now, I don't mean that you might not inherit talents or characteristics of your parents. Certainly we do, but not the sin curse. But they believed that. So they say, why is this man blind? Did he sin or his parents sin? Goodness.
Well, he was born blind. Verse 3, Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned, nor his parents.
Neither one.
But that the works of God should be made manifest.
Okay, we do know this story, that Jesus is going to heal this blind man's eyes. This man is a man of destiny. You have a destiny. And his destiny was to be born blind. Life is just such a span, as Olivia and I just played and sang with our piano and tambourine. This is but a span. His destiny was to come in, be born blind, and even grow up to be a grown man, and suffer as a blind person, so that when Jesus healed his eyes, Jesus would get glory, and people would know that God has the power to heal blind eyes. A handicapped person who fulfills their destiny is a far greater witness than someone who has everything working good. Now, so understand, this man has a destiny. You have a destiny. So don't get too out of joint about some of the situations in your life unless you caused it, or the devil caused it, or sin caused it. You have a destiny. God didn't make a mistake.
Him. 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work.
Have you ever noticed about Jesus, you'd think he had an attention deficit disorder. He changes the subject. Have you ever noticed that about him? I love that. No. What he does, he goes to the natural. Here's a blind man, and everybody's going to see the glory of God. He sees the natural. Then he flips over to the mystery moment, the third level, the mystery of God. What he's saying, this blind man, is his destiny was to be an illustration to show the glory of God. And what it means spiritually is that because of sin, mankind is blind. Spiritual blindness is much worse than physical blindness. Most everybody on this planet today is spiritually blind. Did you know that? Yes.
Yeah.
And so he says, this man is an illustration, and everybody is blind and in darkness. And you go about and you think that it's just about your dog and your cat and your job, and you're four and no more. And you came and you do not have any idea that there's a great destiny about all of this. And Jesus is saying, that this man has a destiny to show the glory of God. Now, you know, you could say, but the poor blind man, I mean, he had to suffer. Obviously, he's a grown man, as we're going to see right now. He had to suffer. Do you know that man? We don't know how long he lived after that. He was already grown. Let's say, in those of you on cyberspace, I'm holding out my hands about the length of a foot here, a yard, a foot. And let's just say that that's your lifespan, and most of that is lived with difficulties, but do those difficulties show the glory of God? That man has 2,000 years ago gone back to God. God said, well done. And we are still talking about him today. We are still talking about this man. We're encouraged about him today, 2,000 years later. His destiny was greater than one little tiny lifespan. Do you understand? You're more than your four and no more. You're more than this. This is not all. This is just a test. There's a whole eternity out there. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. And it's going to be good. It's going to be fun. Don't you know he's having fun now?
Oh,
yeah. Hallelujah.
Five, as long as I am in the world, I am the light.
Now he goes on with a deeper teaching. All right, this man needs light, but he says, I am the light of the world. But you see, Jesus' body went out of the world. But he told you, Christian, he said, you are the light of the world. Proverbs says that a man's spirit is the candle of the Lord. Your spirit is the candle of the Lord. Now, if all of us in the body of Christ light our little candle, and we all come together as the body of Christ, what a bright world this would be. And we will reflect the beauty of our head, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. When he had thus spoken, back on the ground.
Now Jesus spits. What is spit? Water. Jesus is the living water. We learned that in John, the woman at the well, right? Remember that? And Paul says we are washed with water by the word of God. And he sent his word and healed. Hallelujah. That's why the spit is water. It's living water. The water of well of life.
And made clay of the spittle.
Now he makes some clay. You remember in Genesis 2, God made clay and formed Etha Adam, the man Adam. And then he put his spirit in him. He makes clay. You're just clay. Next time somebody calls you dirt, you say, yep, that's right. Just dirt. But good dirt.
And he anointed the eyes of the blind man.
And he anointed the eyes of the blind man. He spits, the living water spits on the clay. And the clay is the substance of which he makes all of our body parts. And he anoints the eyes. Malachi 4 says the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings. And that means that Jesus sends the laser beams of healing into that part when we pray for the sick. So he puts the clay on the eyes, and therefore the laser beams go in there. And whatever's missing there or out of joint is replenished, renourished, rebuilt, recreated. Maybe the macula's missing. Maybe the retina's broken. Maybe the pupil is not developed. Maybe something else, whatever it is. And so he spits on it. The living water takes the clay and makes the man new eyes.
With the clay, verse 7, and he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent.
Sent, S-E-N-T is what Siloam means. The waters that were in the pool of Siloam were sent, S-E-N-T, from the pool of the Virgin. Now we know the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and Jesus was plopped in there. When Mary's water broke, out came from the pool of the Virgin the living water. And we're washed with water by the Word of God. And the Word of God is life to all those who find it. And he sent his word and healed them.
He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing.
This man did not resist. He obeyed right down to the detail what Jesus told him to do. Don't leave any stone unturned. Every stone is important. If you ignore it, you're going to have to come back and pick it up. Obedience brings blessings.
Say, the neighbors, therefore, and they which had seen him before and knew that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? 9, and some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him.
Looks like him.
He said, I am he.
I am.
10, therefore they said unto him, how were thine eyes opened?
How did you see?
11, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight.
Hallelujah. And when your dirty, filthy sins that makes you blinder than a bat are washed in the waters of the Virgin, that water that came from her, the Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, you'll see. And you'll see in a way you've never seen before. You'll see the mystery. You'll begin to see why you're here. And the little things won't bother you so much, because you are people of destiny.
So then they said unto him, who is he? And he says, I know not.
I don't know who he is, he says.
But came they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind.
Poor man, don't you know he wanted to go home and tell his parents, look, I can see, I've been a grown man. And they take him to the phony church leaders. Remember, the phony church leader says anybody believed that Jesus was the Christ, they would excommunicate him from the church or kill him.
14, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes.
Uh-oh, Olivia, play your violin. Ooh.
15, then again the Pharisees also asked him how it was that he received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay upon mine eyes, I washed and did see. 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day.
Nice church folks, they didn't care about the man could see, they just worrying about the Sabbath. Huh.
But others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?
Now they're calling Jesus a sinner. Uh-oh, careful.
And there was a division among them.
Jesus always divides. What fellowship has darkness with light? What fellowship has truth with a lie? What fellowship hath a baby Christian with an elect? But the baby Christian can grow up to understand the elect, so there's a little hope there. We must be equally yoked in every way to have power, power of the Holy Spirit, to do the work God has called us to do.
17, they say unto the blind man again, what seest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he's a prophet.
He said, well, I guess he's a prophet.
18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him.
Kenites.
That he had been blind.
Now they're saying you weren't even blind. This is a hoax. See, they're just really evil.
And received his sight. So they called the parents of him that had received his sight. 19, and they asked them, saying, is this your son, whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? 20, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. 21, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him.
Now obviously this blind man was very bright. Be careful when you meet a handicapped person. People have a tendency to think that because a blind person may have to feel things, that they're demented. Not always the case. These parents loved God, and they knew that if they got too entangled here with the phony priesthood, that they would be excommunicated from the temple. They didn't want that, so they're trying to pass on by this questioning.
22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man would confess that he is the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. 23, therefore said his parents unto them, he is of age, ask him. Verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise.
Not Jesus. They don't realize Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us.
We know that this man is a sinner.
Whoa, getting close to blasphemy there.
He answered and said to them, whether he is a sinner or no, I know not. one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. Jesus can open your spiritual eyes, and may he do this. So from this point on, you know you have a destiny. This isn't all. This is just a test. Don't grumble about it. Get up, do it, overcome, because the best is yet to be eternity. If you fulfill your destiny, this man did. We'll begin right there next week. But right now, it's time for Mystery Moment. I want to welcome man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. Great word about restoring that vision.
Yes, isn't that great?
That's awesome.
Good, I know it. Get some clay.
Okay, our first question. Is the dragon in Psalms 44:19 the same as in Revelations 22?
Not at all. In Revelation 20, verse 2, the dragon there is one of the devil's name. He's called the serpent, the dragon, Satan, the devil. But in Psalm 44, that dragon in the Hebrew is jackal. And the definition of a jackal is an animal of the night, and it's a symbol of the Kenites, like these phony church leaders, the descendants of Cain, and the children of the devil. This same word, jackal, is used in the Song of Solomon, where it says, the little foxes destroy the vineyard. And so the Kenites, that's a jackal, the Kenites have destroyed the vineyard of America. We're supposed to be the vineyard of the Lord Jesus here, and they've also destroyed the church.
Yeah, we see that jackal, the spirit of fear, working through many different aspects.
Spirit
right now.
Of fear. And yeah. You had one Isis. Of those on your supernatural presentation, did
yeah.
you not,
yeah.
Scott?
Yeah. Okay, our next question. Why did good King Hezekiah give the gold on the temple doors to the evil Assyrians?
Okay, Sennacherib was trying to conquer. He had already conquered the 10 tribes. He was trying to conquer Hezekiah, king of Judah, those two tribes. Hezekiah, it was not sin, but he was trying to protect his people. So he paid a bribe to the Assyrian to save the children. So he gave him the gold off the temple doors. One thing he learned, never pay a bribe to your enemies and never try to negotiate with your enemies. Now, Scott, we know the Bible says, Paul says, these things happen to those of the Bible, for those of us at the end. Our government has tried to bribe and negotiate Iran, our enemy who says death to America. It's not working, is it?
No, it's kind of interesting how they gave him gold, too.
Gold, yeah. And gold. Yeah. Gold represents in the temple. That would be the Zadok, the very elect. We're called to different kinds of metals and everything. Wood, hay, stubble, brass, silver, gold. The gold would be very elect. The enemy goes for the gold. He wants to get the Zadok, because if he can get the elect, he's got everybody else.
Yeah. Okay, our next question. Please explain the difference between all the trees in the garden.
Okay, a lot of those trees were literal fruit trees, and the Hebrew word there is etz, E-T-S, so that's how you know you go to the manuscripts. But there was the tree of life, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also mentioned in Revelation, the last chapter 22. But the other was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This was the devil. The Hebrew says the word is artash. He has a backbone, a spine, and a central nervous system, and can make firm as men do. The snake was a symbol of the voice of the devil, which is sly and lying. Like I am teaching the word, that anointing that comes out of me is the voice of the Holy Spirit. So there you have it.
Yeah, and I love how Jesus, when he anointed the eyes of that one person he was healing, mm-hmm. to give him the vision, and he said, I see people like trees. He was kind of giving us a spiritual
yes.
essence of seeing that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
calls us trees of righteousness,
yeah,
the planting of the Lord.
We have
that's
limbs
right.
and a trunk.
Limbs,
and
we got
yeah.
limbs, and that's right, we got the trunk, we
yeah.
do, that's right.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Okay, our last question. Why does God have those four beasts around the throne in Revelations 4?
Okay, the word is a mistake in English. It's living creatures. They do not have free will. They are, the Hebrew word there is kerub, K-R-B, which we break it down. The names are keep, guard, grab, and grasp. and they are to protect the mercy seat. They do not have free will, because in the world that then was, Isaiah 14, there was an anointed cherub who did have free will, Lucifer, and he rebelled against God, and that's where why we're in this mess. So God didn't want to happen again.
Oh, it's awesome. Awesome answers.
Okay, thank you very much, Scott Merson. Thank you, we're looking forward to your Christmas program presentation, Wings and Things. That's going to be really good. Now, for those of you who are lost, I want you to pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Teach me your word.
Teach me your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. Feel free to call me. By the way, my phone works for all of you who have called and you couldn't get me or thought I wasn't returning. It was just the devil stuck his finger in it for almost a year, but it's working now, praise the Lord. So call me. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you will arise with healing in your wings. I ask the healing virtue will go down into the very lungs and break up that congestion that is in the lungs. Breathe, breathe, Holy Ruach, breathe in Jesus' name. Let that heart beat with the perfect heartbeat of God. That missing body part, come back. Pelvis, be healed. Backbone, spine, central nervous system. Diabetes, be gone. Feet and toes, nerve damage, be healed in the name of the power of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, tension be gone, anxiety be gone, fear be gone. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Demonic forces break off here in the name of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. He sent his word and healed you. Oh, Messiah, bring forth recovery on this bed of sickness in Jesus' name. Praise God. And if you've been healed there, you call and tell me that too. Now, it's time for your love light of the week, from my heart to your heart. It is time for all of you who are Zadok elect to go beyond the limitations of the human body. We're living in a new season. The supernatural is absolutely all around us. Daniel says the sons of God, the elect, would do exploits, go beyond the limitations of the human body. Samson did when, even though he was blind, he held up the pillars and saved his people from all of those heathen enemies. Paul did when he left his body and went to the third heaven age. Philip did when he left his body and went to the chariot of the Ethiopian and led him to Jesus. Peter did when he walked on the water. And Moses did when he came down from Mount Sinai and his face was shining as a light, so they had to put a veil over it. This handmaiden has proven there is so much more. There's so much more. Go beyond the limitations of the human body. Bless your heart. I want to invite all of you. Don't forget our Christmas program, December 21st, 6:30 p.m., right here at my school, refreshments and everything. And December 25th, 5 p.m., communion, the word, and healing. I want you to tell everybody you know, we want to have a mile-long healing. And Scott, you and I are going to stand here until we touch every one of them, okay? You're welcome to come on Sunday, 5 p.m., here at my school. And now, Wednesday is prayer warriors, so that's a special thing. We are really praying. We're called and here, and we pray. And I've taught the people how to pray, and I'm teaching, so we're doing work there. Now, remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And I want to bless all of you, and we know that he sent his word and healed you. I want to bless all of you, and until next time, this is Sherry Medlock. Stay in the Word, stay in the truth with love.
You've been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
I would take no for an answer, just to know I heard you speak. And I'm wondering why I've never seen the signs they claim they see. Well, are the special revelations meant for everybody but me? Maybe I don't truly know you, or maybe I just simply believe. 'Cause I can sniff, I can see, and I can count up pretty high, but these faculties aren't getting me any closer to the sky. But my heart of faith keeps pounding, so I know I'm doing fine. But sometimes finding you is just like trying to smell the color nine. Smell the color nine. Now I've never felt the presence, but I know you're always near. And I've never heard the calling, but somehow you've led me right here. So I'm not looking for burning bushes or some divine graffiti to appear. I'm just begging you for your wisdom, and I believe aren't getting me any closer to the sky. But my heart of faith keeps pounding, so I know I'm doing fine. But sometimes finding you is just like trying to smell the color to the sky. But my heart of faith keeps pounding, so I know I'm doing fine. But sometimes finding you is just like trying to. Well, I can't sniff, I can see, and I can count up pretty high, but these faculties aren't getting me any closer to the sky. But my heart of faith keeps pounding, so I know I'm doing fine. But sometimes finding you is just like trying to. Sometimes finding you is just like trying to. Sometimes finding you is just like trying to smell the color nine. Smell the color nine. Nine's not a color, and even if it were, you can't smell a color. No, that's my point exactly. You can rearrange me. Just one touch is all I need. I've nothing much but the wounds I come to find the hand of the miracle man. Holy, you are holy.
Everybody sing, for joy is in this place now. Dance, dance, everybody dance. Everybody sing, for joy is in this place now. Dance, dance, everybody dance. Everybody sing, for joy is in this place now. Dance, dance, everybody dance. Everybody sing, joy is in this place, yeah. Everybody dance now.
scream. Joy is in this place now.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
More than all, more than all the riches of this world, more than all the treasure I could hold, more than all the riches of this world, more than all the treasure I could hold.
The sweetest sound, the highest praise is the letting go of this life you gave.